Injection, fellas.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here comes up. Here comes up. Here comes up.
Y'all don't really want it like that.
Y'all, break it on up. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Good afternoon and welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And today we have another outstanding show for you. And I hope you're ready for it because I know I am. I am ready. It's Thursday, y'all, and it's a nice day outside. So I hope, you know, y'all getting close to that weekend. And I hope y'all getting that things going on for the weekend, man. Yeah. All right. But anyway, we got another great show for you today. And you know what? I'm looking for a real, real outstanding show, man, because the topic of the show today is should Black Americans go back to Africa? Yeah, Africa. Africa. I'm going back to Africa. Okay, I had to get that in there. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, hey, check this out. Once again, it's Thursday, January 17, 2013. Oh, Lord have mercy, and I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. I'll tell you, you know, some things are just some things. I tell you, every time I try to do something, man, I was coming in, I always got issues starting up. I don't know why. But you know what? When we got a good topic, that seems to be the thing. The devil is a lie because we're going to get this show hopping and popping today. So I hope everybody's ready. All right. Once again, I must always put that disclaimer out there. You know, this week, and in a lot of cases, our show does cover a lot of sensitive topics and things that some of you may not want to hear. You may be sensitive to. Well, if that is the case, right now, I do want to extend my heartfelt apologies to you, okay? For what, if your feelings do become hurt a little bit. However, that is not going to stop the show from going on, okay? So if by chance you do, you know, get your feelings hurt a little bit, I do apologize. But you know what? This is an adult show, and we talk about adult topics. And with that being said, it is what it is, and we're going to do what we do. Of course, I will try and, you know, keep it under wraps as much as I can, okay? All right. Oh, Lord have mercy. I tell you. Ooh, I'm ready, man. I'm so hyped today. I got to slow down because my mind is just racing and everything is going on. You know, because we just get carried away sometimes up in here, and then things get crazy, 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 crazy. All right. Once again, I want to thank my chat room coordinator, Miss A. Now, for handling things out there in the chat room for me today. Yes, A. Now, thank goodness you talk about necessary topics. You're right. There's no need of doing this if you can't talk about the things that need to be talked about, you know, in an adult manner, you know, without all of the bull crap that goes on. Oh, Lord have mercy. I know, y'all. I know. It's okay, though. It's okay. Y'all going to be all right. You're going to learn something. I promise. We're going to be friends. Y'all remember the lines out the Temptations? We're going to be friends. That's right. Anyway, you know, as we always do before we get big and heavy on our topic of the day, we always go around, you know, and check on a couple of other stories that you know, I find kind of interesting. And there are quite a bit of them out there today, really. You know, as I was doing the show last night, preparing for the show last night, you know, there's a lot of things kept popping up, and I'm like, wow, I can do this, I can do that. So I had to pick a couple because I don't want to prolong the main topic of the show because some of them be too good to prolong. But anyway, we gonna get on. Now, with that being said, let's rock and roll. Break. Ain't that what it said? Break. All right. Oxygen. The channel Oxygen. Who owns Oxygen anyway? Oh no, that's not Oprah. Oprah owns Old Channel. I don't know. Heck, old Oprah. Whoever owns it, they finally made a decision that I can applaud y'all. They canceled the Shorty Lowe's On My Baby Mama's reality show. Yes, they did. And you know what? I'm so happy with that. I'm going to give that a big old hand clap. Thank you. Thank you. They canceled that. And it's such a great thing. It is. It's a wonderful thing. And Lord have mercy. I don't know. I'm just ecstatic right now. I am over that. I mean, because let's face it, how many reality shows out there are portraying anything positive? How many are actually out there doing anything positive? So what the last thing we needed was another show portraying anything negative, especially when it comes to African Americans, man. You know what I mean? Now, this was a story that was going to be based on this guy that has, 10 baby mamas? Yeah, 11 babies or something like that. Really? Like, we really need to see a reality show on that. Hell, you ain't got to go look on TV. You can walk out in the neighborhood and see a lot of that going on right now. Joker's not paying no child support, but they're going to go on television and do it. Nah, I don't think so. A couple of Fridays ago, I mentioned a show called All My Baby's Mama that was supposed to air on the Oxygen Channel. Well, I am very glad and ecstatically happy to announce that Oxygen listened to their customers and canceled the show before it even got started good. I'd like to give big kudos to Oxygen and you know, whoever was in charge for not falling prey to the sensationalism of reality television and doing the right thing. Hopefully the other channels will follow this lead. Stop putting such filth on television. Unnecessary stuff. We don't really care about no knucklehead with 10 baby mamas. Why should we? If anything, we should be holding his feet to the fire. Holding their feet to the fire, too. Hey, they trying to get on TV and become rich. Now, good, I get a job or stop having babies. Really? Just ignorant. Just ignorant. That's all I'm going to say. It's just ignorant. Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. For the very proper individuals, that is just very ignorant. It's ludicrous. And we cannot have that kind of stuff being portrayed any longer about our community and neighborhoods. You know, every black person does not have 800 baby mamas and 800 babies. So now we're going to put something out there. Oh, Lord, I'm glad they didn't put that out there, portraying such negativity. I see. Now, if only they could take the Bad Girls Club off their channel. All right. Well, see, I don't have, you know what, and I'll be honest with you, that's one reason why I don't even have cable. I watch PBS, ABC, CBS, NBC, MeTV, you know, so just simple things, man. I don't have time for all that. You know, it's not even worth the money. And I watch more PBS. I tell you, man, I love my PBS. I really do. And you know what? It's an organization called Change.org, which did a petition, you know, and it created more than 40,000 signatures from people actually demanding to not have this show aired. So once again, outstanding job, Oxygen, outstanding. You listened. Now, like I say, maybe we can get the housewives and the husband wives and the mom wives and all that mess taken off, and we can get on with something more educational for our kids, since y'all just insist on putting stuff on television that we don't need to see. All right? Okay. Now, moving right along to the next thing I want to talk about. Now, you know, last month, well, a couple of months ago, you know, we had this thing about Jovan. Yeah, I know the housewives are some of y'all guilty pleasure. I know, I know. Well, tell them start doing something positive and quit acting like little gangster girls. Really? Anyway, Jovan Belcher. You know, we've had a heated conversation about, you know, what actually happened during that altercation where he killed his girlfriend, where his wife or girlfriend and himself in the Kansas City Chiefs parking lot. Well, come to find out, the autopsy says he was drunk at the time of the murder-suicide. At the time of the autopsy, his blood alcohol level was 0.17, more than twice the limit of 0.08, which is, you know, what is the legal limit for Missouri drivers. And it was likely higher when he shot his girlfriend, Ms. Cassandra Perkins, 22, at the couple's Kansas City home. Okay, so, you know, more things are beginning to come out about exactly what transpired on that fateful morning. But here's the question that a lot of people are having now. The police actually stopped this man, well, stopped and talked to this man when he was sitting in front of his girlfriend's house. You know, and apparently he seemed as though he was under the influence then. However, the reports actually state that once they got out, you know, and he started talking to him, he became more coherent, you know, in a few moments. So I guess they took it that, you know, he wasn't really as drunk as he actually was. But does that take the pressure off the police department? Does that place any blame on the police department? Okay, here's the question. If the police department had just, I don't know, GP, general principle, did a sobriety test and found that he was inebriated, do you think this would have his girlfriend would have been still living today? Maybe he'd been still living. Or would it have just prolonged something that was inevitable to happen? You know, those are just some of the questions. So now the police department, you know, they're going to have to answer some questions also about exactly what took place that night. You know, write a report is one thing, but actually what really went on, who knows? Who knows? I know here in Texas, you can't even be sitting behind the wheel of a car. I don't care if you're asleep or whatever. If they think you're drunk and they can prove it, you're going to jail. You know, so maybe it was one of the officers recognized him as a professional athlete and gave him a break, or who knows? Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that who knows? Who knows? And I gotta say, your alcohol level can fluctuate that much in a matter of hours. I don't think it was a matter of hours. I think he was just completely drunk from the get go. You know, some people really. You know, they have a way, they can talk pretty good when they're drunk. But that's why you should do the sobriety test. Heck, blow him. I mean, he refused to take him to the hospital. If you have, you know, if there's any indication or you have any inkling that is what's going on, I say you should go ahead. But I know what some of y'all say, no, that'd be stereotyping. Yeah, well, maybe they would stereotype in this one instance. Two people would still be living and we wouldn't be talking about this thing. You know, still, yeah, I mean, it's my opinion and that's what I'm going to say. You know, but yet, you know, once again, alcohol, drugs, you know, that just goes to prove that these things do actually impair your thought process. And he may have been on the edge anyway, so it just helped push him right on over. And it didn't help that he got home and she was barking at him too. So that made it even worse. Of course, these are just my opinions, my individual opinions, okay? So, hey, more to come. There will be more to come on that, I'm sure. I am sure. Now, and also there is a custody battle going on over the child. I think her mother has the kid, the baby right now, but I think his parents want the kid, so hopefully they'll come to some compromise on that and the child won't be, you know, be put in unnecessary drama, for the right word, drama. Okay, now that we have got those two little tiny stories out the way. Let's get on with the get on. Let's go on to get on talk about today's topic. Now, if you want to join the conversation, hey, give me a call, 347-838-862. Send me an email, ericletstalk@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at driven4life62. Or just stop by my Facebook page and leave me a message at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Any way you want to. I'm always on one of them doing something. Hey, that's what I do. Okay, here we go. Once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on Let's Talk. And our topic for the show today is, should black Americans go back to Africa? And you know what? I said black Americans because as one of my astute council leader says, Mr. Solution, we really can't say African-American because people from South Africa and all that are really African-Americans, and a lot of us aren't African. So black America, we go back to Africa. See, y'all think I'll be listening half the time. I'll be listening. All right, now here it is. I am aware. I am aware, y'all. I know this, okay? I know this is a very general question to be asking in 2013, which I know, you know, this leads a whole big old error when you just put it out there like that. Should black Americans go back to Africa? It's just generalized. So I would like to narrow it down just a little bit, okay? Just a little bit, so we can get the going on some type of direction here without just flying all over the place. Yeah, I like that. You know, because there are some people who feel that black Americans should pull up stakes. I mean, just gather everything, family, forget your roots, quit your job, just grab everything and haul ass. That's right. And head on back. Head on back to the motherland. That's what some of them call it, the motherland. And head on back. But in reality, whose motherland is it really? Whose motherland is it really? Is it really our motherland? Is it really your motherland? How much of that do you know about? How much do you know about Africa? Huh? But yet, a lot of individuals want us to just pull up things and ride out. Just ride out. Let's go. Drop everything. Is it possible for the average black American to go to not only live in Africa, but also thrive in a country we know nothing about? Is it? Hell, we a lot of us still don't know enough of anything about the country we live in now on a daily basis. So now you talking about pulling up stakes and hauling ass and going over to Africa, well, you really don't know anything about it. Or should we just make a move there to open the try and get some businesses, open some business in order to become wealthy individuals like some people do? Because, you know, well, let's be honest, some areas over in Africa, South Africa, West Africa, you know, they lack technological resources. But see, we have some of that knowledge that we can take over there, open some businesses, and who knows, make it a better place altogether for everyone. What you think about that? Oh, Lord. In the chat room, I got, we don't even talk about Black History Month, let alone talk about moving to Africa. Well, now, hey, some people out there talking about it, and that's why I'm doing the show today. Of course, I know some of y'all out there, many will argue we should move back because we are not wanted in America and will never, never be a factor in this country. Never be a factor in this country. Really? And why aren't we a factor in this country? Because we're not trying to be a factor in this country. But that's neither here nor there right now. But then maybe it is. Maybe it is. Of course, these theories are not anything new. Okay? Because we've heard them over and over again. Over. Well, I mean, you know, it's like movements are always going where we hear this thing over and over again. 111, I see you out there. I get to you in a minute when I can finish. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where we just keep going and going and going and going. But how realistic is this move, really? How realistic is it? Now, I'm going to tell you something. you know, this is going to be, I expect this to be one of, you know, a great conversation today. So, you know, I must do some things here. Okay, in the year, let me get this right now, because I want y'all to understand where we're coming from and what we're going to be doing. You know, there was a survey, well, let me see, in 1856, Robert E. Lee made this statement: the blacks are immeasurably better off here than in Africa, morally, socially, and physically. The painful discipline they are undergoing is necessary for their instruction as a race, and I hope will prepare and lead them to better things. How long by this subjugation may be necessary is known and ordered by wise, merciful providence. Now, that's what Robert E. Lee said in 1856. Now, in 2008, okay, 152 years later, Pat Buchanan made this statement: first, America has been the best country on earth for black folks. It was here that 600,000 black people brought from Africa in slave ships grew into a community of 40 million. We're introduced to Christian salvation and reached the greatest levels of freedom and prosperity blacks have ever known. Now, that's what Pat Buchanan said. Now, between Pat Buchanan and Robert E. Lee, 152 years, okay? 152 years. But in the same, between that 152 years, between these two statements, there was Garveyism, Marcus Garvey. Yeah, and are y'all listening to me now? Y'all, I hope y'all listening a little bit. Okay, that was Marcus Garvey. And Margaret Garvey founded the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League, and he advanced a Pan-American philosophy, which inspired a global mass movement known as Garveyism. Garveyism would eventually inspire others from the Nation of Islam and Rastafari movement. In addition, he was dedicated to promoting African Americans and resettlement in Africa. But just like everything, not everybody was happy with that. I mean, he wasn't happy with that. You know, he spoke of having pride in African history and culture. And because of that, he was called by the leader of the NAACP back then the most dangerous enemy of the Negro race in America. And he was so adamant about what he believed in, he actually collaborated with an outspoken segregationist and white supremacist Senator Theodore Bilbo of Mississippi to promote a reparation scheme, the Greater Libya Act of 1939, which would deport 12 million African Americans to Liberia at federal expense to relieve unemployment. So I mention these things because whatever your beliefs on why black Americans should return to Africa, arguments on both sides of this issue has always been there. So what makes things so different now? What makes things so different now? And to be honest, the real question is, would black Americans be welcome at this point, or would they be treated as outsiders? Some things to think about, huh? And you know what? In doing my little research, I found an actual survey that asked the question, as an African American, would you go back to Africa? Okay. Now, the first question, the first answer was, yes, I can imagine settling there. Only 149 people responded to this question. But out of the 149, 62 of them, which came to 41%, said yes, they would. Yes, they would. So there is something there, isn't it? I'm just saying. And since I have said what I've said, I am ready to do some talking now. And I know I got somebody on the line that's ready to talk with me. So let me open up my phone lines. Once again, if you want to join in the conversation today, give me a call, 347-838-8622. And let's talk about should black Americans go back to Africa? Because we wants to hear. Good afternoon, you're on Blog Talk Radio. Let's talk. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing, Eric?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Solution. How are you today?
Good.
Outstanding.
Yeah, your question, I think it has the word back in it. Explain, what do you mean go back to Africa?
Well, see, that's what we're going to talk about. You know, because some individuals feel as far as we should go back to Africa. Some people feel in other words, I'm saying what I'm saying is a lot of individuals feel since our ancestries was brought over on slave ships, that is so-called our motherland. So if that is the case, then we should just pack up our bags and roll out. Just roll out. That's what a lot of individuals believe in.
Well, actually, just a few facts about Africa as I understand it. Africa is a continent about three times the size of the U.S.
Uh-huh.
It is composed of 54 countries, and last time I heard, about 13 of them were democratic. And, of course, it's one of the world's reserves of all the natural resources. In 1948, Africa was divided up among the French, the English, the Germans, the, let's see, who else did I mention? I don't know if Italians, but I know mm-hmm. it was divided up basically among European nations. Let's just say mm-hmm. that.
Okay.
And that's the reason you have your Vietnamese. Actually, some of the best pastry chefs, that was French-controlled. And so, actually, Africa is the cradle of human civilization, not just, you know, we divide up into race. And, you know, I said at one point, race is not scientifically significant. I mean, human beings, all of them are the same,
mm-hmm.
and they're of the same species, Homo sapiens. And so... but for, you know, the peculiar institution's purposes, race was the most looked at indicator in America. That's really was the hotbed of racism. And it has exported that around the world. But now, as far as going back to Africa, which, again, is the cradle of human civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So-called black folks or black Americans' origin. It's all people's origin. I don't know if you are aware of that. Presumably you are, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, that's verified by cultural and biological anthropologists, paleontologists, so on and so forth. So, you know, let's just get that straight. Now, the other thing is, going back to Africa, most people don't leave their home state. I don't know. Are you a native of Texas?
No, I am not.
Okay, all right. But you probably know from whence you are a native that most people, even to their own detriment, do not leave their home state, correct? When you think about it just quickly.
Correct.
Yeah, so most people don't even leave their home state.
Some of them don't even leave their
home. That principle that I've shared with you in the past is not true for most black Americans. They don't have their bills current. What are they going to do, leave their unpaid bills here and flee? Well, they wouldn't be going back to Africa. They would be going to Africa for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because all ties have been broken between the slaves that came to America or Africans that came to America as slaves and the black Americans of today. There are no ties. There are no connections. There's no consciousness of, life in Africa. And indeed, you know, why would there be? It just has not been promoted. It hasn't been taught. Have you ever been to Africa, by the way?
I must say I have not been.
Any part of Africa, any country in Africa. Have you
ever
been to any country in Africa?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Most black Americans haven't, and they're not going to. It's just a bunch of bullshit, to be candid. They're not going any damn where. They haven't done anything here. And by the way, what makes you think that Africans will accept you in Africa? Don't be surprised. There's no connection. The cultural, like I say, the cultural connection has long since been broken. And I know a few people who have gone. I think Bianchi said that he went to Africa. I don't know if he's planning on living there. I hear many places are beautiful, particularly in South Africa, you know, would put the coast of the U.S. to shame, you know, whether California or Florida or whatever. But, and then we talk about that 1 year's salary. I mean, planes fly to Africa every day. How many people can afford to even take a trip to Africa? And then you would have to take resources there and develop. And there are creature comforts in the United States that most of us have grown accustomed, although if you have money, you can make it comfortable anywhere in the world. I mentioned Haiti, how there are wealthy people in Haiti who love it there, and they would never come to America. And did I say Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere?
Yes, we agree. Yeah, we covered that. Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's much to do about nothing. No one's going there. And like I say, they wouldn't develop anything there. They haven't developed anything here. And they have the resources. And American blacks are the most educated and have the most economic viability, although most of the money that black Americans spend is credit. It's debt. It's not money that they actually have. You follow what I'm saying? When they talk about this, I believe when Target Market News talks about American blacks spending $750 billion, over $750 billion, most of that is credit, and they're working that off. So they have no money. They have no resources. What about the skills? You're going to go to Africa and live in huts? How would one finance themselves? So I think it's piss poor planning when you have churches today that have the money and the people and the land available, and they don't even erect and own a grocery store. So I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the evidence is just not there.
Yeah. You know, and that is my point exactly. I like the way you said that, and you know, and especially the part about would we even if we did even have a notion, would we even be accepted over there? You understand what I'm saying? And as you said, all the ties are gone. So the answer to that probably is no, we wouldn't be. So what other options would there be for going to Africa then, besides vacationing, or let's see, maybe go over there and, as you say, start a business, work, do something resourceful. But once again, I have to agree with what you said. How are we going to go somewhere else that we know nothing about and start something up when we haven't done anything here in supposedly our supposedly great country that we live in? So I'm in total agreement with you. But why? If that is the case, then why are there so many individuals out there clamoring and still yelling about let's go back to Africa?
Oh, they're just blowing off steam.
They're just blowing off steam.
Wait a minute. Most of them couldn't pay a fare across the street. I mean, when you see, the thing of it is, it's kind of funny. I was having a conversation this morning, and you have on Blog Talk, you have a lot of ne'er-do-well whites. And really, there's no difference. There's a lot of, identification. Now, in America, whites will try to use their skin privilege, you know, to buttress themselves. But a lot of that has dried up, interestingly enough. Skin privilege isn't even working for a lot of whites, and they're pissed. So, I mean, they're uneducated and ignorant. I mean, I have conversations with a number of them, and you know, but speaking to the black issue, of course, blacks are poorer than whites, and they have less access to capital. But you can make reference to what you just said a moment ago. If you have the power, the resources, particularly money, you can make a place hospitable to you because you can buy the power. You can, you know what I'm saying? You can transform
right.
a place, and you can buy off the people. You can do what you want to do if you have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me?
So, I follow you.
Yeah, so the thing, I mean, look at what the gangsters did. They went to Las Vegas out in the desert where there wasn't anything, and they created, you know, that environment. So anyway, you know, but the people that are talking, you know, the conscious people sometimes, they talk about the movement back to Africa. And I say, I kind of chuckle when I hear these people sometimes because I say the so-called conscious, I think it was Don Calypso named them the Conscious Brothers, they can solve the problems of the universe, but they can't figure out how to get enough money to pay their damn rent. They just, you know, and that's very, very humorous when you think about it.
Yes, it is, but so true.
Yeah, and you have to ask the question, do they really know what they're talking about? Usually, no. Usually, no. And I think the greatest opportunity exists in America for people who don't have money, whether they're black, white, you know, Asian, whatever. That's the reason people leave their countries and travel multiple millennia of miles, thousands and thousands of miles, to try and get economic viability. So I think that you know, it's a tempest in a teapot, a tempest in a teapot. That's all it is. It's just blowing off steam. They aren't going to do crap. They aren't going to do shit. Talking. If they were going to do something, you say to them, you know, and I just put these things together. Are all your monthly bills current?
Mm-hmm.
Have a year's reserve? And have you had an elimination in the last 12 hours? When you ask those three criteria alone, you knock out about 90% of the, you know, motor mouths.
Hmm.
They just have to shut up. I think Mattu admitted he didn't have it. Now, who's more conscious than Mattu? Calling you out, Mattu. No, I like Mattu, actually. But, yeah, Mattu said, no, I don't meet that criteria. Now, I don't mean you can't say anything if you don't have that, but I'm going to wonder why, because you're going to be begging next.
Now, not the begging.
I know it.
Wow. But you know what you're saying is so true. And but you know, I do want to use Mattu though, because I do believe Mattu and Pianki actually has business interests over in somewhere in Africa, correct?
I think Pianki does. I don't know about Mattu.
Yeah. So maybe that is.
But he can speak for himself. I'm sure he'll. See, they get over there on that show, and I'm going to call them guys out. They're pussies. Mattu, Pianki, what's his name? Now, Tracy banned me from her show. I called her a bitch, and she was and is. And Tracy is no one to listen to. Tracy can't find her ass with both hands.
Mm.
And I said to Tracy, no one on her show met those criteria either.
Mm-hmm.
As though I think... Stanley May, because he lives in New York. New York is a hard place to live because of its culture, its climate, and so on and so forth. But those guys get over there and see, guys don't have a, this is another issue that conforms directly with your topic here, and that is the guys are not together. Guys are very discombobulated. Guys, period. And black guys even more. The black women control the black community, not the black men. That's why I was on a show last night. I was telling, you know, some younger men, I think they're under 40. I was pointing out to them how they could set up businesses, matchmaking business, getting women from other cultures that are more relationship compatible. And I mentioned five places where they could get women, import them here, and, well, not import them, but just have them come here because they're already American citizens. But what happens with many of the men over there on Tracy's show, they kiss her ass. She should not be a star. She is not strong enough to be the center of anybody's solar system. You follow me?
I follow you.
She was asking, let me give you a more clear-cut example. She was asking for $110,000 to set up a credit union, right? Now, all the people who come on her show and kiss her ass, none of them can produce it. She even said it. She didn't say it that way, but what she said is she couldn't get the $110,000. Now, you or I wouldn't loan it to her ass because we don't like her, right?
Right.
No, I don't like her.
Right.
I wouldn't loan it to her, not even at 55%. I wouldn't loan it to her. But see, this is where black people in America particularly fail. They always get with other weak-ass people, people who are no stronger than they are, and they kiss each other's ass and mutually, destructively, dysfunctionally complement each other. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a stupid alliance.
I hear you. All right, y'all, we want to welcome May 2 to the show. May 2, what you doing, man?
Well, I seen the word Africa. You know that's a magnet for me. So
yeah.
I said, what are Eric trying to do, man? He's trying to bait me into this show, man. What you doing with Africa in the title of your thing, man? What's going on?
Because, you know what, I'll be honest with you. I'm like, Mr. Seuss, I'm tired of hearing folk talking about, let's go back to Africa, let's do this. So today I decided to do a show on Africa. Should black people go back to Africa? You know?
Yeah. Well, let me say this. First of all, I don't think they're going to go back anyway. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have the resources, and I don't think it's even practical that all blacks go back to Africa. So that's not going to happen. That's the first thing. Let alone most of them don't want to go back, and they shouldn't be, and nobody can make them go back. So I think that's the foundation to it. Now, if you want to get deeper into black people aligning themselves politically, economically, and socially, and militarily to Africa, they most certainly better do that. Not that they should. They better do it if they hope to survive into the future.
Oh, okay. Please explain further. Why should they align themselves militarily with Africa? For what reason?
Okay. You're not going to agree with this, but so you'll have my worldview. One, there is a race war going on. Now, I know that sounds crazy. I know. I'm smoking weed today. I know. Okay. The blacks' position on the planet, the strength of blacks' position on the planet. Okay, well, first of all, what the military piece is for is just to maintain yourself, right? To defend yourself if somebody want to come take your shit. It ain't the, you know, let's line up black men and get pistols and run out here. So we're only talking about military from a perspective of if you do build something, you show better to be ready to be to maintain it. And to the point of military. Other nations do it, so it should be the same way. So that's what that means. If you look at any other race on the planet, they are all connected to a homeland politically, economically, and socially. This is romper room history, right? If you look at where things are going, particularly for blacks, and the rise of the continent, and the other races taking advantage of what's happening, the Renaissance in Africa, common sense would tell you, why wouldn't you take part in that? You have, one, more claim to it. If the political ties wouldn't have been broke, you already would have been tied to it. And the opportunity is there. And they never said, you keep your black ass over here, but the Asians can come, and the Arabs can come, and the European can come. No Africans never said that. So why wouldn't you go? There ain't no more manufacturing here. Most of that stuff is getting ready to stop happening in Africa. The investments, the economies, they're booming, and they're on the rise in Africa. So from a monetary perspective, why wouldn't you? These are just common sense. See? Nobody's telling nobody to pack your little briefcase or your little gym bag or your little duffel bag with your two pair of blue jeans and your two pair of socks and get a passport and move to Africa. That's silly. We should be international people just like every other race. But you better connect back to what's on the rise. Now, that's just common sense. Now, you can take that and throw it in the trash if you want to. And we'll just watch what happens.
Very interesting.
Now, does that make any sense?
Mr. Solution, rebuttal? Anything?
Rebuttal?
Not rebuttal. But Mr. Wait, May 2, now don't get started now. I'm used the wrong word. Mr. Solution, you like to add anything to that?
Matu didn't say hi to me, so I really feel morose.
Hey, you know what,
I am morose.
And you know what? I should have said hi. One more thing, Mr. Lewis. Man, I'm telling you, man, now I happened to listen to that show last night. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Your shit is tight, man. The only thing I think that I wish is that it was more culturally. Now, this is intentional. I wish it was more intentional, cultural, African-based and cultural. But, man, I mean, your shit is on tight, man. That's a good name for you, man. You really do bring solutions. You really do.
Now, well, thank you,
your ass either, and I ain't got no money for you either. But
oh.
Talk, man.
Hey, I got your cover.
He didn't pay me to say that, y'all.
Well, what was that? An olive leaf? Olive branch being extended out there or something?
He didn't pay me to say that.
Actually, Matu and I are cool. We're fine. In fact, most intelligent people have a junction point. They have an intersection point. Well, I don't know if you want to hear, but look, it's just like a. I know there's a lot of specialization with respect to the body and bodily functions, but it's good to understand the overall functioning of the body in order to just, you know, understand the body. So one of the things, Matu, can you tell him the gist of what I said? Because it dovetails with what he's talking about right now.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, man, the precise point of telling African men, in particular those that are functional, you kept saying that, and that's made a good point, because, you know, most black women, when they attempt to say why there's dysfunction in a relationship, they usually give a description of a dysfunctional black man. He said the functional black man, and he's absolutely right, leave her the fuck alone. There's plenty of women on the planet, and they're black.
And black women, that's right, that's right. That's very crucial to the conversation.
When he said that, the sister that was on the line, I think it did something to her, Mr. Luke. If you notice, she said nothing else after you said that.
Well, I disarmed her. I mentally disarmed her. The way I just went ahead and I don't usually employ this, but I just used a psychologically disarming ploy, and of course she had some intelligence, and it just tapped into that intelligence. But the point of it is, your women are your enemies. Black women are black men's enemies. A lot of black men are too much of a woman themselves to see it. The black woman is supported by the white man in America. And she is as much your enemy as the rules and the principles of the white man. And not all white men are your enemy, but a lot of them are, and those that are in a controlling capacity. And she's aligned with them. Why? Because he's the hand that feeds her. She hasn't worked with the black men to develop a damn thing. And that's what I told the woman last night. How do you want wealth and you haven't worked for it? You haven't done a damn thing to deserve wealth. You haven't worked with anybody. You haven't collaborated. You haven't coalesced to produce anything. And that she recognized that too. I got to give her a couple of kudos. She was smart enough to see where she wasn't smart. Okay? Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Okay. I didn't know. Is Matu there?
You still here,
yeah,
Matu?
I'm still here. I'm listening.
Okay.
Uh-huh. No,
okay,
you're absolutely right. She did, in fact.
Yeah. She was smart enough to see where she wasn't smart. Well, see, the thing of it is, I wrote a treatise on the black American man separating from the black woman. And you can do it with the black American woman. You can do it politely. You just don't need to fight with her. See, she's your enemy. She's your vicious enemy. And fuck everybody who says it's not true, because it is. It is true. You just may be too cowardly to accept it. She has been trained to fight you at every point and on every point. And it's to wear you out, to wear you down, to make you doubt yourself. Okay? And she's given the power. She's given the legal power to do that. So she's going to fight you on anything you do. You've got to get rid of her ass. She's a cancer. Now, what about the few women who aren't that way? It'll be okay with them. But the vast majority of them, about 95%, it is that way. Remember, she said she wanted a man, but she wanted a man to chase her. Now, she's 50 friggin' years old. It hasn't worked in this length of time, and she's over half her life is finished. And I told her she was practicing insanity, doing the same thing and expecting a significant change. So your women, number one, and I said go to any other communities. I work with many other communities, all other different groups, and all their women are more socialized to be in cooperation. Am I saying it's always smooth sailing? No, I'm not saying that. That would be stupid. But I am saying on basic functional issues, they are in agreement. And those women have not, they believe more in their men than they believe in their men's enemy and their men's detractors. Black women, black American women, don't. They are the biggest fucking sellouts. They have accepted welfare on one low end, that is the social welfare, and then they're fed corporate welfare. Look at this bitch, Eric, if you mind me saying that, I don't have a problem. Webster defines a bitch as a malicious, spiteful, and domineering woman. You have a woman come on this thing called Love and Light, and she's telling me about, well, and I think she's an idiot, but she's telling me how she does multimillion dollar jobs for a white man, and she thinks that impresses me. And I'm saying, you potential bed wench, it's not your money. You're nothing more than a guard dog. You're just managing somebody else's money. Don't you know the difference? And so she fights you at every angle. You can't talk to them about anything that's uplifting. It's a fight. It's on. And you're going to lose every time because you don't have the stamina to fight that kind of foolishness. So she has been planted mentally. A chip has been put in her mind, as it were, to always contest you, to fight you, to nip at your fucking Achilles heel. All right? So the problem is she's not going to support you. So you've got to get other women. There are other black women than American-bred black women. Get other women who, and you can make a business of it. That's the other thing. Everything should be a business. It should be a profit. There should be a profit motive. And when you start to think that, wants her. Everyone else knows her. Everyone else knows her but your crazy ass. Take Tracy, for example. Now, Matu and I did become enemies for a brief moment. Because when I told Matu about introducing me, you know, being a facilitator and introducing men and women, guess who Matu introduced me to?
Tracy.
I said, I hate that fucking Matu. I'm just teasing Matu. But that's who Matu, and see, he did it maliciously. He knows it, didn't you, Matu?
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Wow.
He introduced me, and I will give it to Matu. On occasions, Matu, admit this, you guys are scared of Tracy, aren't you?
No. Nah, I mean...
I don't think nobody's scared of Tracy.
No, Tracy, she,
you know what I try to do, man?
No,
because they won't talk to Tracy about real issues. They let Tracy get on there and just bloviate and have diarrhea of the mouth.
Let me ask you this, Matu, right between the eyes.
Do you think Tracy knows what the hell she's talking about?
No, absolutely not. 99% of the time, she does not. No.
Does any of the guys, the little cheerleaders, bitch guys I call them, do they tell her that? Like I do?
No, other than me.
Oh, I mean, right.
You must
okay,
hear
I'll
me
get
talk
that to you.
Tracy.
On
I mean,
occasion.
She forever muting me.
That's a good thing, by the way.
I think I got the record of her muting somebody.
What's the topic about today?
What's up, Joe? You sounded
hey,
better.
Hey, what on, dude?
Hey, my two.
Are you moving back to Africa, Joe?
Yeah, as soon as I get to England.
Yeah, England, yeah. They control most of Africa anyway, though.
No, there's a girl over there. You probably know Ebony Empress. She keeps inviting me to come over to see her.
Oh, I know. Oh, by the way, is that her chain? She seems to change her picture on a website. I know Ebony.
Yeah.
Yeah, but are you headed to Africa, though? I think that's. I was just pointing out how the black American woman, and I want to be very specific here, the black American woman is the nemesis of the black American man. In fact, I had said, or any man as far as that goes, but other men know that, and they don't deal with her to any significant degree. And I pointed out how she's coddled and paid by an outside entity. And that's whom she is devoted. Tariq talks about this, sometimes, slightly. But you can see it. You can see it in your communities. Black women, they're going to pop out the kids, and then they get subsidies. And you notice the fatherless rate, absentee rate. But they choose that. They make that happen. Fathers are not there because the women deem it so. And
okay,
very
so
few
is that
people
the topic
have
for
begun.
Today?
Excuse me?
Is that the topic for today?
Well, it's part of the topic because we were talking about going to Africa.
Oh, yeah.
And when you go to Africa, you've got to pack your bags. You've got to have resources. You've got to have connections. And I'm just saying it's bullshit. No one's going to Africa for all the above reasons. They're not even leaving their home states to improve their lives. They're not going to Africa.
Did Panky show up, talk about it?
No, he's not here.
They're not here? Okay.
No. Well, I mean, Mr. Solutions is right. They're not going to go. But I think it's the wrong question to ask because, I mean, for the most part, you know, there's multiple reasons why they're not. But there is some self-hatred in there. It's like mentioning Africa is like kryptonite, you know, to a black person. So, I mean, there's multiple reasons why they're not. I don't agree that they should, nor are they going to anyway. It's not even practical.
So, Eric,
in terms of its climate and beauty and landscape, as I said earlier, I don't know if you heard, Matu,
people
Joe,
going
we
to
gave
Africa?
A little bit of history on Africa.
Are you talking about a pan-African movement, or are you talking about going there for women, or are you going there for a vacation? What's the Africa got to do with the topic? Because I'm not looking at the PC. I'm here on my phone.
Go ahead,
well,
Eric.
Eric would have to tell you why he chose the topic.
So, Eric, are you there?
Okay.
Well, what he was saying is he run into a lot of conversation. He's probably quelling the outcry based on something I said. But he said based on some conversations he has had with people, they're talking about going back to Africa. And so he's just dealing with that issue now. And I said, do you want to use the word back? Because most black Americans have no connection to Africa whatsoever.
Right.
And I also pointed out that, Africa is the cradle of human civilization, not just so-called black Americans. That Africa is where everyone came. Africa is the richest continent still. Even though it's been raped for generations, it's still the richest continent on the face of the earth. You have more natural resources and resources that are exclusive to Africa, virtually. China is in Africa. Russia is in Africa. Virtually every nation is in Africa for its resources.
Okay. Well, I have another call on the line that, I got two more on the line now. I got another call online that want to say something. And Nay-Nay, you on the air, man. Go ahead. Welcome to Let's Talk.
Yeah, what the problem is, man, when somebody trying to do something different or trying to do something, it's always guys like you trying to block them. If somebody want to go to Africa and try a new start, what's wrong with that?
Guys like
you got a problem with it because you're talking about this the greatest country of the world. I don't understand you guys.
Well, who now? Be specific, brother. Or you just got on the line.
I don't know. I know. I heard somebody say it's the best country in the world, and you're sounding like somebody planning on going back to Africa. It's a problem. Would somebody want to go back to Africa? And
that certainly wasn't me.
You should be trying to find solutions to help them go back to Africa and bring some resources back to here instead of you keep trying to work for that cracker and blocking them from going back to Africa.
Well, and I think that's a good point, and I think that was my point about Mr. Solutions. I think he actually could be a, not cheerleader, but a great advocate for blacks transitioning to Africa for business reasons and things of that nature with his ability to articulate it. But he's not interested in that, so that's why he wouldn't articulate that.
Oh, I know he's not interested in it. I know he's not. I think he should be.
Wait. First of all, you'd be wrong. Why would you say, look, any enlightened person, I just said that, I don't know if you heard me, maybe there was an interruption, I'll repeat. Every country is in Africa for their interest.
But you
so
just,
it
got
just makes
about
numbing.
You can't even have enough money to cross the street. That's
right.
Just,
I just said that too.
Well, that's just so negativity. It don't make no sense.
Yeah.
That's
because there are blacks
even,
who can. Yeah.
But that could even come out your mouth.
Right. That's the point. That is right. Right.
You're
right.
Terrible with that, brother. You need
yeah,
to really
right.
deep down inside check yourself.
Yeah. That's a good point.
The
self-hatred slips out every now and then. The black self-hatred that Mr. Solutions, that I think he has, it slips out. And it slips out in comments like that.
Wait a minute. Wait. Slips out in comments like what? They don't have enough money to go across the street? Wait a minute. Two people are speaking at the same time. Matu, go first. I'm sorry. You seem a little bit duplicitous now. You're tap dancing. What's the point you're making?
No, in other words, what I heard you say was when Eric asked you the question, you said it's bullshit. You said that's what you said. You said that was the first thing out of your mouth is that it's bullshit.
Are they going back to Africa?
Or didn't you say that? Yeah.
Wait a minute. Are black Americans going back to Africa?
Yeah, should blacks go back to Africa? And you said the first thing that you told him that it's bullshit.
Well, that's not the first thing I said. I gave a lot of support information.
Topic.
I basically said, number one, they're not resource rich enough to even leave their home state, and Eric and I agreed upon that.
That's
then
right.
I, th-
Then
who
I said,
are you talking about, though? Who?
Right, because some are and some aren't, Mr. Solution. Why
right.
wouldn't you say there are some who are resourced up that should go back? You didn't say that.
No,
you
that's
right
true.
To...
Look, I just said, look, if people have the resources...
Check yourself, brother. Check yourself.
...to go back, yeah. they're not going back anywhere. They would be going there. Let's get the language straight. They wouldn't be going back. They would be going there. So if they can go there and do something, now I would ask you, who's doing it? Who is doing that exactly?
Who's not doing it?
Wait a minute. I'm asking Matu. And Matu, who do you know that's going to Africa? What black Americans do you know that's establishing businesses in Africa? And what country, by the way? Africa is three times the size of the United States, and it's a continent with 54 countries, and 13 of them are democratic. Which country are you saying that black Americans are visiting in Africa?
Okay, well, for myself, Uganda, that is where our businesses are. There's about nine countries that whose economies are on the rise. And
right.
so any of those nine would be, you know, a good pick. You got Ghana, you got Kenya, Uganda, South Africa, and there's a couple of other ones. I have to look back at my list. But their economies are booming. But I guess the deeper question is, like the brother said, who's not going back? In other words, it's the way you're even framing going into the conversation.
Well, it's not the way I'm framing. Look, if you tell us more about it, you say Uganda. What are you doing in Uganda? I mean, have you asked people for help? What are you doing? Give us the positives and give us both sides of the issue about business in Uganda for Americans. Do they make it for black Americans? Are they hospitable? Do they make it easy? I mean, do they give you tax breaks and land and water rights? Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, that wasn't the show, but I wouldn't have a problem doing that. That wasn't
well,
the
that
show.
Well,
right?
That is
just
actually,
talking
that,
in,
that,
yeah, he was just
that
talking
is
in
actually,
general.
That is actually, no. See, you missed the opening. That is a facet of the show. Why would we go back? What for what reason? If it's not
you
to live.
You just said United States and China and everybody else is in there. And
I just,
about,
well,
why
see, that's what I'm saying. It's
back.
Like,
here's
y'all
the
didn't hear none of that.
You know what?
In other
you
words,
know what,
watch this.
You
in other words, watch this.
Man, I'm quite sure y'all probably been to some college, probably down with some fraternity, something like that. Because it don't make no sense, man. I'm out, man. Quit sucking the white man's dick.
Yeah. And I would say, that, you know, I don't know, you know, but again,
another wonderful caller, y'all.
Yeah, again.
Is there another one that wanted to come in?
Yeah, you got Antonio.
What do the rest of the world know that we don't know?
What does the rest of the world that we don't know?
Yeah, what does the rest of the world know that we don't know that they would be going into Africa? What do they know that we don't know?
Well, they got the resources to get they got the money to get the resources, like oil, gold, all sorts of the minerals that are out there.
Let me suggest a documentary that you can get right on YouTube. It's called Blacks Without Borders.
I think I've seen it. Is that the one that they're showing some of them went back to, like, South Africa?
Yeah, these were just some average blacks. They didn't have no investment club behind them. They didn't have no, you know, they weren't representing no equity firms and things of that nature. Just average blacks who said, fuck it, I'm going to just try it. And it walks through what they went through and where they are and what they were able to accomplish. This was just in South Africa. The brother who did that documentary right now is working on a second one where he is following blacks in other parts of Africa who's doing the same thing. He's out of California. So for inspirational sake, I would say just check out that YouTube. Now, as far as the doing business in Africa is about as difficult as doing business in any other country. It does take connections. It takes, you know, a long time. It takes you being on the ground or having someone on the ground. You have to go through the same business registrations. most of the industries over there are wide open. In Uganda, when we first went, we did two restaurants, built a few houses, and now we're working with some ladies who do chicken farming, and we're trying to get them some equipment over there so they can upgrade their manufacturing plants. So now, I mean, we saw all of those when we hit the ground. Calves, people are sending buses over there, starting calf companies. I mean, it's just, it's really wide open. But, I mean, it's not without risk, right? But so I would say that's why, if from an economic standpoint alone, it's good business. Everybody else is doing it.
Well, who particularly sending cabs out there? Is everybody? Is it black people we're talking about or other people?
Huh?
Who's particularly sending cabs out there? Is it black people we're talking about or is it other people you're talking about?
No. No, what I said was when we hit Uganda, those were some of the ideas and the things that we saw. And this is what I was saying, if a person wanted to work with somebody and, like, get a bus over there to do a cab company for public transportation. I mean, all of these are, they're open opportunities.
But me too. I understand what you're saying. And you talking to business opportunities. But it goes back to the original thing, what me and Mr. Solution were saying earlier. You got jokers that ain't left their own city in 50-something years. How you expect them to do anything like that?
Well, I don't think this conversation would be for them. This would just be an inspirational conversation for them. You wouldn't be talking to them, E. Of course, if you came by a pack of bologna, then I mean it's just more of inspiration of what they could do. But of course, they couldn't do anything.
Now, when you go over there, do you contribute to the particular country that you're in, or are you looking to expand to make something for yourself, like make your own country, with other African Americans?
Well, in Uganda, we didn't link up with any other African Americans, but you do. Like I said, if you look at that YouTube video, you will see.
Say that again. What you just said. Rewind and say it again. In Uganda, you didn't what?
In Uganda, we did not.
Why not?
We did not come across any where we were.
Okay.
And where we were at, I mean, but what's the point of that? He just said, did you link up with any other?
You made the point for me. You didn't come across. Why didn't you?
Huh?
Huh? Why didn't
because
you?
There was just none right
there.
There
weren't any there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what's the long?
I'm leaving you alone. Go ahead.
I wanted to know what's the long term plan for doing this. And is it to set up their own country for themselves, or is it to contribute to the country that you're going to?
Well, I think. Well, it depends on what you're going over there for. Now, I'm a Pan Africanist, so what I'm going over there for is much more than making money. But you have some that just go over there to make money. So now that depends on what you want to go over there for.
I know, well, what's the fun? Right now, I know that the only one that you hear a lot that's pretty much a proponent for this is Umar Johnson. I don't know if you know him. He's the one that talks a lot about we should set up things in Africa. But the thing I was just wondering, I think his purpose was to set up his own country eventually or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he, you know, about that. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if you go. I mean, you got to have your own land. I don't know about that. But Umar, you know, he's a functional Pan-African. He really does travel the world. And, yeah, I think he is honing in his attention more towards, you know, using the energy and the people that follow him here in America to begin to do and set up some stuff in Africa, which is what he should have been doing, is using that momentum with his following in the United States to, you know, do some ventures in Africa, which I think is the best thing for him.
Well, what areas you said again you would recommend? Like, what areas are good to go to? Because it's a big continent there. So,
okay, check out I would say watch the economies, and one place that you can watch the economies right over the internet is a CNBC Africa. CNBC is over there, CNBC Africa, just like CNBC here, CNBC Africa. And the business news, and you can keep an eye on the countries with the booming economies, which ones are on the rise. And that's, quite frankly, brother, that's what other people are doing too. NBC Africa is not just there to be there. They're informing other people. We're just not there. And so I would say, here's where most of the energy is with everybody that's on the continent. Any of those economies that are on the rise, everybody's there. Everybody.
Okay, so those countries that are booming, what's influenced their booming? Is it from Europe or is it from the black people there themselves?
No, you have some blacks, but the most of the ones who are over there who are really taking advantage are Asians. I mean, they're really getting down in Africa.
Yeah, especially
and of course, the
China
Europeans
especially.
Never left their presence there, huh?
China especially, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, Europeans never left. So, you know, they're just hunkering in. But I think right now, if you say what group of people has the most momentum of going into Africa is the Asians right now. But I think that the black Americans have a lot of what it takes. That's the other thing, Mr. Lucian. A lot of what could be used over there in Africa is the skill sets that a lot of African Americans have, even if they didn't have a lot of money. A lot of engineers, structural engineers, and things of that nature, they could, just from an economic perspective, do very well in Africa and help build the country.
There was an article in Black Entertainment, and I try to remember things in triplicate, but they stated it that way. And by the way, before I say that, had it not been for me, Eric, all the jaw-jerking that Matu does, he wouldn't have shared what we just got out of him. You know I'm coming to nail your ass, Matu.
Hey.
But the point of it is, now he does have some good information. But now, a couple of things. You would need an international law attorney. And I know there's a difference between what corporations can do and individuals can do. That's domestically and foreign. And the thing is that most countries will not allow an individual to purchase land in their country. You can't. They won't allow you to. They'll allow you to lease it. That's reserved to the citizenry. Now you do have to work in cooperation and collaboration. Now referring to the BE thing, and this was very good. They say three things that any people should be doing to establish themselves: establishing a business, investing in a business, and supporting a business. And you could have people, and I agree with you, Matu, from the standpoint of skills. That's the reason I said that, in terms of education and also financial wherewithal of black Americans juxtaposed to any blacks any place else on the planet. So, but you would have to have people whom you would trust.
Yeah.
So it comes back to the basics, integrity. And, fuck, if I don't trust you, I'm not going to work with you. Blacks in America perfectly boycott each other because they don't trust each other. Take that guy who was just here. Now, I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but I am going to be accurate. He didn't know what he was talking about. He just came here, you know, he was a ball of emotion. He didn't understand the issues. And probably this would not be a good person to work with under any circumstances. He's too unstable. He's erratic. And he just heard a few things half-assed, and so he came here and wanted to, you know, vent, and then he shoved off. You guys know who I'm talking about, the guy that was just here a moment ago?
Yep, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, he uttered some invectives, and then he left because he doesn't have the stamina to stick with anything. And that's probably an unsuccessful guy, no doubt. But you would have to have people. Now, Dr. Anderson said this, that black Americans boycott each other perfectly. Did he say that, Matu?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said, yeah.
You're damn right he did. And is it true?
You are absolutely. The proof is
okay.
In the
yep. So if you don't like each other, and I speak to the men should get an agenda. You all should get an agenda. And most of the men, guess what? Act like women. They actually act worse than women. And they haven't gotten an agenda. Well, Matu, maybe you could speak to some of those things further about how you get the land over there, your contacts, how you develop contacts. Are you a contact other than for your particular enterprise? Maybe you want to speak to a few things like that, you think?
Yeah, yeah, and you're absolutely right. I've got to go pick up my son from school, but I just wanted to mention about the, you know, it does take time. But, for instance, when we first went over to Uganda, we did befriend an attorney, and now he incorporated us for free. He didn't want anything. Just he was, you know, happy to see us come over there. So he's been working with us through all of the legal ramifications, you know, of getting incorporated and things of this nature. There was another brother who we befriended.
Wait a minute, before you go from there, maybe he didn't charge you anything, but there were fees that had to be paid, right?
Yes, there are fees. Yes, you do have to pay fees, just like here, you know, setting up a business and incorporating. And you are right, most of those countries don't allow you to buy. But that's with anybody, though, any foreigners.
Right,
you,
right.
You
how much,
you, get long
you may want to
leases.
Give a ballpark figure.
Of what? The term of a lease?
No, the fees that you said the attorney did it for gratis, which was great. I've met some good attorneys like that. But how much were the fees? So what kind of costs would a person be looking at to start a basic business in Africa or to offer their services? How much money would they be looking at spending?
Yeah. I would say to do a business, I mean, that would depend on, you know, what you're actually going to go into doing. But the fees and the things of that nature, because most of those countries still have those European, judicial systems. They still set up under those colonials. So their fee structures for business registration and things of that nature is similar to over here. $100, $150 and things of that nature. So they're not much different in that. I think that as far as starting a business, the best thing to do, like you said, you do need to either get with a group that's on the ground that you can just invest through them, or getting on the ground and getting with the people, the actual entrepreneurs who are on the ground there. Because a lot of money can be made just investing in those entrepreneurs that are on the ground. Like I said, like the sisters with the chicken farm. I mean, it's, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you know what I'm talking about. A 1,000 business ventures will come to you once you get there. It really is kind of limitless.
Okay, you just have to get there to get on, put boots on the ground, man.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're gonna talk to you some more about this, Nate. You make sure you come back.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I gotta go pick
all up. Right. Let's say hello to Mr. Poverty Supreme. You're on the air, man. Go for it. Poverty Supreme. Supreme. There you go again. Oh well. I guess he'll come back.
I had another blockbuster question I wanted to ask Matu, but I see he left, so we'll get it next. We'll get it answered next time.
Yeah. Well, I say we got Mr. Supreme on. If he ever come back from what he's doing, I don't know what this cat doing. But okay. Well, what was the question? Maybe we can throw it around for a moment.
Oh no, Matu would have to personally answer this question.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, we can't answer that without his input. But no, he obviously. Now, see, I just want you to be clear on this. I asked Matu questions about the relevant situation here that he normally would never share. We would get into this back and forth, superficial type stuff, and we would never get to any of the particulars. But when you get over there, you have to have shelter. You have to have contacts. Now, attorneys are usually the best people to interact with, and that's
They understand the language the best, and they understand the laws. And at one time in this country, just like it was with apprenticeship, everyone had to have a skill that they could do with their hands. They weren't considered a real mature adult unless they could do that. The same thing is true with legal training. Everyone needs some legal training. You need to know what your lawyer is doing, because if that's your lawyer, guess who has to oversee that lawyer? You do.
You do. Yeah, you do.
You have to have all the skills that your profession, well, you have to have the oversight of the skills your professional has, because when you go in to talk to an attorney or a CPA, they're working for you. They become your employee. You're hiring them out. So you have to know what you want. Now, they can advise you, but still you have to know how to steer them in the direction who wants to go. You.
Supreme?
I was just going to say that at the end of the day, it depends on how you feel. If you're black and you're complaining that things ain't going well, you know, black folk are being killed everywhere, black folk are being held down and shit, the only way that's gonna change is for you as a black man to go back to the motherland. Simple. But I'm saying that I understand that some Americans or UK people don't wanna go back, so that's cool as well. You understand? But at the end of the day, I don't push Africa hard to call, you know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? I don't push that, but, you know, it's something that I feel that a lot of the family, the black family in the United States, and they don't think they're African anymore. You understand? And that's just some craziness. That's my only gripe with that. I mean, Eric, do you see yourself as an African? Not even an African, but you know that you're from that continent. Because you're born in the United States, you're a United States citizen.
Right.
Is that how you see it?
Yes, that's how I see it.
Okay.
Should I see it any other way?
Well, yeah, that's just the only problem. I think it's just it's people who lack what can I say? A knowledge of history.
You're going to
bring up the Columbus.
History.
Columbus, yeah, go on.
No, you go ahead. Christopher Columbus what?
No. So what is your grounds? Originally, if you go far back in your family line, you know that you'd see African, right? Or was you always in America?
No, as far as going back to mine, no, I only see America. I don't see Africa.
So I understand what you're saying. So I've seen Africa.
No, as far as I've gotten on my genealogy, there is no Africa.
There's no African in your genealogy?
No.
That's foolishness, man.
Well,
are you
going to
get a proper genetic test?
Have
you got a proper genetic test?
Am I what?
Have you had a proper genetic test, like, to trace your ancestry?
Sure I have. Have you had one?
I know by looking in the mirror.
You know by looking in the mirror. By looking in the mirror makes you African?
Listen. You're your race by wherever the biggest concentration of your people is. You should have a fair... You should have... It's not no theory. You should have a fair... Every country which this is a simple way to deal with things, right? I mean, without even doing it now. You look at a Chinese person, right? The biggest concentration of them is in China. So that's how you know that they're from there. The biggest concentration of Europeans are in Europe, right? The biggest concentration of Hispanic, Latino, Mayan or whatever, they're in the Americas, the Native Americans. They're not in America as much, I mean, from the north where you guys are, because they wiped them out. But in the lower regions of South America now, then you see the natives there. And then when you've seen the largest concentration of black folk are in Africa. Do you understand?
Well, you know, if I use the same logic that you're using right now,
That's a simple way.
Well, listen. How do you know what I had?
You haven't, man. There's no way. You got too much melanin, right? A higher concentration of carbon to say that you're trying to say, what's your DNA saying then? Tell me what your DNA is saying. You 50% European and 50% Native Americans that you're telling me. Is that what you're telling me? Your genetic markers
ain't got nothing to do with no. Look, Supreme. Okay, it's like this. Now, you know, as me and Mr. Solution have said at the beginning of the show, you know, we understand Africa is the cradle of societies. You know, blam, everybody came from there. But over the years, that connection has been broken, bro. So you know, even though it may have started there, eventually it was broken somewhere, and mine didn't make it from Africa.
Listen, that's cool. I mean, listen, I ain't got a problem. The black people in America, I ain't got a problem with them wanting to stay. They built that shit up.
The
whole of the United States was built on the back of slavery. Bottom line.
Well, hell, the British tried to enslave everybody too. That's how it ended up fighting. That's how America started coming about, because the British
Eric, you're trying to go on like Britain.
Wait a minute.
Hang on. I'm just saying to you, you acting like the devil in Europe sees himself differently from the devil in the United States.
Did you just call me the devil?
No, I said I'm saying the devil. You know who I call the devil.
Why haven't you gone back to Africa then?
Have you been to Africa to visit? No, I haven't.
Okay. And your ancestor is from Africa?
Of course.
So why haven't you been back then?
Why haven't I been back? Because I can't be. I need some money first. I don't know whether I'm going to. I need some money first before I go back there.
Okay. You need some money.
But what did I say to you? Let me ask you another question.
Have you ever been out of England or London?
Of course I have.
Where have you been?
I've been Italy, I've been France, I've been Spain, I've been to Jamaica,
Why haven't you gone back to the... What you got going on back there in your background, man? But anyway, why haven't you been to the homeland then, your homeland?
Because I need money. I need some more money. I will try and plan to do that in the future. I'm going to look into retire by the time I'm 40, and I am going to go to the Caribbean to live, to see out my the rest of my life, or I'll go to Africa. One of the two.
Okay. All right.
And live in the hills.
Live in the hills?
Yes. Live high up, highest hill and build a house. That's what I'm looking for, because I need to get out of this place. But, you know, there's a lot of money to be made. I haven't been back to the motherland as well. You know, again, I'm a bit fearful, you know, because they talk about you need all these shots and that. And I haven't had an injection or I haven't been to the doctors, about my sickness or taking a pill in about 11 years. Wait a moment, my daughter's going a bit.
No, okay. All right, well, okay. Mr. Solution, Joe. Y'all got anything to ask Mr. Supreme?
Hang on. Let's get this straight. I already said, if you heard my opening statement, that I don't mind. I said I don't care if blacks don't want to go back to Africa or not. It doesn't bother. It's not a problem. I can understand why Americans want to stay. You understand?
Supreme,
I understand why black Americans want to stay because
Supreme,
they bought that shit.
But Supreme, here's my thing. You are one of the main ones that's always yelling, the white devil.
I've never said, listen, I've got a broadcast on why why should black folks go back to should black folks go back to Africa? And my main statement was this: Africa don't need, in the position that Africa's in, yeah, Africa don't need people who can't do nothing. Black folk who want to go back there and blood suck off those poor people. They don't need people like that. They need people that can do shit. You understand? Some people who are educated, people who've got a profession so that can add something to them. They don't need people who just want to go there and live in the sun, live in their house. You know, they want to be on a revolution, or they want to be on some black liberties in America and the UK, but then they want to go to Africa and live in their house, have their land, and die in the sun. And that's my thing. I have no problem. I've never told people to go. We should all go to. I said, if you got a problem with what's going on, you need to separate. Now, either you separate within America, like what Elijah Muhammad was trying to do, and Marcus Garvey, do for self, or go back to Africa.
Well, Marcus Garvey wasn't trying to separate inside America. He was trying to send to Liberia.
He was trying to leave, but he was separating. He had shops. He owned stuff. He was building up schools and stuff. What are you talking about?
Yeah, to go overseas, to Africa.
He was only bringing a certain number to Africa with him. He weren't taking everyone.
Everybody who would go.
He said, Africa don't need lazy people. If you're lazy in America or where you are now, then you ain't going to be no use to Africa. So that's wrong. You need to study up on Marcus Garvey a bit more.
Oh.
Elijah Muhammad realized that black folk don't want to go back to Africa. So he did something within the country that he's in. I'm saying that black man's getting shot down left, right, and center in the United States, right? We're fighting with each other because we're too engrossed in the society and in the TV and in all the school system. The school system is just there to train our kids from a young age, right? To teach them how to conduct themselves when they go to prison. That's all that is. And it's the youths that don't come out good in the school, they end up going to prison. That's all that the school system does. The school system ain't doing nothing for Negroes. It ain't even our education. We don't even get a proper education on who we are as people. They don't even tell us the truth about slavery. And you know, they make it look like they went to Africa and they took any Negro woman that they wanted. That's bullshit. They took, they made sure that they took black men that were good in agriculture, good stonemasons, people that could do things. They took the best, not, they say, the strongest physically, but that's wrong. They wanted specific people, which was the people, and they knew what people to go for because they had the help of the Moors, who were traitors to our race. And, you know what I mean? A lot of Negroes in America are saying, well, they're American Moors and this, that, and the other. They don't know that they are. They understand that they're aligning themselves with traitors. You understand?
Oh, okay. All right. I'm listening to you. But here's my... If okay, Spring. You just said...
I said, listen, brother. I said that I suggested the topic to you. But I'm not saying that black folks should just... I understand. There's another thing as well. Now, you know, why run at the same time? If you don't want to run, you know, why run? Because you can't get your own way. You want to take your shit.
But if... Okay, you know. I'm going to go back to something you just said. If you just said we're getting shot down here in America, in the UK, right? What guarantees do we have that the same thing will happen if we do decide to go over there?
But what I'm saying is that those people, listen, especially Americans, I give it to Americans, they are some of the most influential people. The black Negro in America are probably the most influential Negroes on this planet. And I'm saying that you guys can galvanize, you know, even like your Malcolm X is respected by the devil. Martin Luther King is respected by the devil. With that sort of mind, a good, righteous mind went out to Africa. I'm sure you could get the people over there to galvanize. Remember, these people are living in shit anyway. So, I mean, they feel disfranchised from their own government. I'm sure someone could talk to those people and tell them, get the devil out. Get the devil out of those. Take control. Be a man. Take your shit. Take those gold mines away from these devils. Take the minerals back. Make them start paying you proper money. And you want to do some trades, come with some real trading in them way that the people them. I'm sure the Americans could do that. Their music's very influential. When they have conscious people come out of the country, they galvanize the world. You know, but, I'm saying that it don't make, I'm saying, and that's to just people that black folk who feel disfranchised in America, because you don't feel disfranchised in America, personally. So you ain't going to feel that. You want to stay, you want this economy to pick up back. It won't. America will be destroyed. Believe me, it will be destroyed. Believe me, that thing's going to go underwater soon. You understand? This is well known. Even the devil will tell you that shit. Look at your debts fucked. You're not going to be living in a third world soon anyway. And you know what the worst thing is? You ain't got the fertile land that Africa has. Even though the devil's trying to ruin that for the African. And the people of the UK as well. They ain't long left to go before this whole thing's going to come collapsing down. All your stocks, everything gone. Done.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go back to a natural way of living and a natural way of thinking.
What is the natural way of thinking? Because you keep, see, and here's the thing, Supreme. You keep yelling about the devil, the devil, the devil.
Look at the devil in the
who
U.S.
Who is the devil? Who is the devil?
The white man's the devil.
Why is the white man the devil?
Well, their history is written in blood. And history tells you it all, brother. The history tells you it all. Look into Europe. Read up on European history. All the people they lift up on a pedestal are murderers and people that enslaved our people. They lift up guys like Einstein. This man made an atom bomb that killed thousands when the United States got hold of that weapon and they dropped that on the Japanese people. These people are still feeling the after effects of that today. This is the United States of
America.
And
that makes them the devil, huh? Okay.
Listen, look what they did to our people, brother.
Okay, all right, Mr. Salute.
If for you to even speak your own mother tongue, they would have killed you, cut out your tongue, beat you, whipped you, beat you in front of your woman. And that's to make the sure that when the child grows older... Again, that's another thing that, you know, but Mr. Solution says. This is things started from slavery. You used to beat the man in front of the woman. So when she grew up, the little child, she would always discipline the child to be a good slave. Because she didn't want the child to be killed. They used a lot of psychology on us. And this stems from this same system that gives our women more money for the man not being at home. This is not done by chance. Or people trying to help. This is done by design, on purpose. Look up women like Mary Singer. She was racist. She's got a school in the United States where mainly blacks go. This woman said, if black people are going to have a hero, let it be bought and paid for by us.
All righty then.
She used to write love letters to Adolf Hitler.
Did he write levels
and all those guys like Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, the new Black Panthers, Malik Zulu, Shabazz, all these guys are house niggas bought and paid for by the devil. And these Larry Elders and all these Jesse Lee Petersons, house niggas, bought and paid for by the devil.
Wow. You sure throwing a whole lot of stuff out there. Mr. Solution, are you there? Nope, that. He must have went and got something to eat. Working out one. Okay. Okay, Supreme. Now, if that's the case then, so what can we go to Africa and do then?
Well, can we go? Listen, we've got the resources there. If we go there.
How are we going to get resources there?
which I said on my broadcast when I did this broadcast like this, similar to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, look, if we're going out there, we got to be men. You understand? And I'm saying we should be just taking what is ours, because it is ours. These people have been in all ethics. They've been underpaying our people to go out and get their minerals and gold and diamonds, what? Giving us like a pound for a kilogram for 2 kilograms of diamonds, and they're giving us like £2, and then they're selling it for thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. The same diamond, same thing they do with gold.
Okay, but how are we gonna how are we gonna go and take anything from over there that belongs to us when we can't take what we deserve over here, or where you are, in fact, in the UK? So
we
how
don't
are we gonna
listen,
do
man.
That?
Us in the UK, we might as well listen, man. This is a cold ass country. It ain't good for the black folk. Black folk who want to stay over here, it's even worse. At least you guys are getting a little sun. We don't get no sun. That's why most black folk go get mentally ill out here and go crazy, because they don't understand that they need sun.
Yeah, excuse me, Poverty. Can you hear me?
Yes, brother.
Yeah, we got. Is Eric there? Eric, are you around?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, we got. I don't know about Joe, but I got kicked offline.
Yeah,
so
Joe got
did.
Kicked off. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you were asking, we heard you, but we couldn't respond.
Oh,
so what
okay.
Did you have a question?
Well, I wanted to see if you wanted to respond to anything that Mr. Supreme was saying.
What's the gist of what he said?
The gist of what he said was, I don't even know. Supreme, what was the gist of what you said?
I just said, listen, I said already, I said, I have no problem with black folks wanting to stay in America. I'm saying, I'm talking more to the Pan-Africans, the ones who say they want black liberation. If they don't like what's going on in the United States, they either separate within the nation, like Elijah Muhammad did, or go back to Africa, because there's no way out of this. As long as you try to live in this system, we will always have women having children out of wedlock. We will always be at each other's throats, trying to kill each other and slit each other's throat. We will always be like crabs in a bucket and always be our own worst enemy while we live in this system that is not designed for our people. This is a world, this is a caste system, as well as a class system.
Well,
basically,
I mean, I guess India is one of the most noted areas for having a caste system.
Exactly.
But that's true in virtually every culture. But
exactly.
Now, one of the things, two things that I note, they don't have, people don't have the will, and I'm going to say to any great degree. Now, when we get Matu back, we can understand some more about what he's doing, and I would ask you, Eric, to continue that, because this is a good topic. And
I'm going to say this: what we have to allude to as well, and we have to remember this: if we did go back to Africa, right, we would these governments in Africa are all bought again, paid for by Europeans. Bottom line. So even Ghana's run by a damn is bought and financed by a European. So
yeah, but that's not the point, Supreme. There's a superior point here, and the superior point is power. I don't know if you've read Dr. Anderson's book, Powernomic. I encourage you to read it. Power can overcome all you're talking about collectively is opposition, correct?
Opposition? I just want us to live in harmony. And,
yeah, you're not understanding.
You know,
what
yeah.
you just raised as an objection is opposition
yeah.
of
okay,
one.
Okay, of what you lot are saying, or what Eric's trying to say.
You know, there's always, look, power overcomes opposition.
Okay.
If you have the power, sometimes it's called drive, sometimes it's called.
Okay, all right. On the power thing, we would have more power if we was around our people. I mean, it would be easier for us to reach them mentally
Actually, Supreme, it loses at the person-to-person level. That's where the power breakdown is. You've heard
no
the old adage, a chain is no stronger than its weakest link?
I hear what you're saying, and that's true. Because that's
okay.
Supposed to be the downfall of a lot of black
organizations. Say Foy, can you just stop a moment and hear what I have to say? Or go ahead, I'll listen to you. Either
no,
way.
No, brother. No, I'll finish what I was going
to
say.
Like, if you ever listen to a conversation attempted between a black American man and a black woman, she won't let him make a point. She keeps him conversationally off balance. She won't listen. Everything he says, she counters it. What does that mean conversationally? She doesn't accept anything that he says.
It's opposition.
That's opposition. And so what I'm saying to you is the breakdown is at the person to, the breakdown in communication and power is at the person to person level. When people get together, it's just like a mob. When a mob gets together, all of them are in agreement to do damage. Right? Every one of them. Okay. Now reverse the mob mentality. Look at it from a constructive standpoint. All the people have to be in agreement on the constructive issue. Now, that doesn't mean that they all have to agree on everything, but this is the way they work with that. They're not in violent disagreement. And they often want clarity so that they can be in agreement because they want to be in agreement. Say, for example, you're having a conversation with a black woman. Now, I know you've heard Tracy. Let's use Tracy for an example.
Who's Tracy?
Okay, forget Tracy. Just use any. You've heard a lot of the women talk.
Tell me who Tracy is, though.
We don't have time. I don't want to go into. Just imagine any woman.
Yeah.
Any woman who wants to understand a man. This is the way she responds to him. First of all, the tone is reasonable. Secondly, she says, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but can you help me understand the deeper level of what you mean? Because I want to be in agreement with you. Now, you've never heard that, have you? Eric, strike that for one moment. Eric, have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard Shasta say that?
Yes.
Do you think that happens often when you look at the breakdown in communication? Do you think women often do that? And I'm talking about with quality men. I'm not talking about with the little buttholes that they produce and raise. Where's a rooster? Did I hear a rooster?
It's my daughter, man.
Oh, okay. Eric, do you hear that kind of desirable, collaborative conversation coming from most women?
No, not from most women, no.
Yeah, but you see, for example, when I'm speaking with you, that doesn't mean I agree with you all the time, but I'm looking for common ground, and I'll ask you for clarification, or I see you will say on your I agree with him on that issue, or I agree with him on that. So we're working together. We're trying to get an understanding. And it doesn't cost me anything to agree with you if you're right or if you're looking to be right. It doesn't cost me anything. In fact, it's much better because we can be friendlier. Because if we disagree on every issue, what does it say in the scriptures? Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. You've got to have a fundamental desire to be in agreement.
Yeah.
So that's the point. Most people would never have to go to Africa, and they won't. But they could support the people who do, that have integrity. They could say, well, you know, I can invest $500. I can invest, $200. Whatever, because when the people get over there, they're going to need money. You need to know about the social condition. You don't want to go into a place where there's war, do you?
Hello?
Yeah, I was asking a question.
Oh, okay.
You have to survey the place. You don't want to go into a place where there's conflict, where there's war, do you?
No, you do not.
Yeah, you have to find out the social. See, there's so much. There's a lot of demographics and reconnaissance that has to be done. That, you know, and you need people just like Matu said that are either there on the ground, or if you choose to go there yourself, you've got to scout out the area. You've got to find out the opportunities. You've got to know the pros and the cons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it could be worked if you have the intelligence to do it. If people have the intelligence, because that's how everybody else does it. They have the intelligence and the desire. And a lot of times the desire will produce the intelligence.
You're right. I agree with you 233%. I agree with you. Go ahead, the Supreme. I hear you. You're clearing your throat.
No, I have. This is the thing. This is why a lot of some Africans, especially on my broadcast, a lot of Africans have to come on there and talk about not Africans, but African eccentric, you know, fanatics. They like to come on and say, "Oh, we have to go back to Africa. We have to go back to Africa every 2 minutes," but you want us to give you your money, but you need to show me something. I know the politics. Well, from what I've been reading and what I'm seeing on the TV, I don't see Africa's not blossoming. All I know is that if I'm going to, for me to go to Africa, especially to live, I have to be mentally prepared and ready. Because what I'm expecting, you know, I'm expecting the worst. You know, and I think that's a good way to see things. I always expect the worst, you know, and it leaves me in good stead. You understand? I always, you know, think, you know, when I'm going to deal with something that I've never dealt with before, I'm always, you know, thinking the worst, and especially Africa, where I'm on the TV, they're showing me Africans just living in shite, literally. You know, especially in Liberia, people are shitting on the beaches and pissing on the beaches, using that as a toilet. Because they ain't got no toilets. You know? Poorest country on this planet. You know, Nigeria, the Europeans are giving them their rubbish. Really and truly, they're recycling the rubbish because they're going in the rubbish, pulling out old electronic appliances, broken down electronic appliances, and pulling out the copper out of the wires, out of the cords. And they're weighing the copper. If they can get a kilogram of the copper, they'll get about 50p. You understand? So they're basically recyclers and giving it back to the. They're just the world recyclers, you know. That and people are living in that. If you watch a program called Welcome to Lagos, you'll see. But these devils are trying to make it look like it's glamorous. The way that, like, we shouldn't feel safe for them. That's the theme of it, because they're entrepreneurs, so black folks shouldn't really complain, because look at them, they're living in shit. So we shouldn't even complain. That's how they brought that off. I see that deeper than most people would see that. And then you've got in Ghana, they're sending out all the old computers to Ghana. That's why there's a lot of cyber fraud in Ghana, because they send them computers and people ain't wiped off their memory off out of their computers. And they're having to get parts that the devil wants, that's paying for it for. They're paying for certain parts out of the computer. And they have to burn through certain plastics just to get to that vital component that the devil wants to buy from them, or was prepared to give their money for. And that's causing a lot of health problems. You know? Same thing in, like I said, in Nigeria. They have to burn through certain products to get to certain products. You know? And like I said, it's causing a lot of health problems, you know? Like I said, if we were to go back to Africa, we've got to realize that the real battles just started. You know? We think that what we're trying to do out here is nothing compared to what you're going to have to do if you go back to the motherland. Because this is you know, if you want to free your people around you. Because Africa could be paradise. It's got the it's got the possibilities of being paradise. Africa don't get earthquakes and all this. I mean, they get droughts, but they don't get these bad earthquakes and all these, these typhoons and hurricanes and that, you know. They're not going to go underwater like America's going to go underwater in the next 100 years. Or at least 30 to 50% of America will be underwater in the next 100 years. And it will be a third world in the next 30 years. I'm telling you, America will be the minimum of a second to third world in the next 30 years. Trust me. There ain't going to be shit left in America. There ain't no economy picking up. You look at your old history. Every empire always declines. And this is America's in its downward spiral, as well as the UK. Because there was... That's what happens when you're backed by paper currency. I mean, this gold was backing it up before. But when you ain't got nothing, there ain't nothing to back these dollars and these pounds.
Okay, if you were to move to Africa, Supreme, where would you move at?
I said to you, I'm going to map it out. I'm going to go out there, have a look, right? Maybe I'll stay out there for 3 months. You know, I know people who are out there. Go and see what they're doing. And if I'm in agreement, then I might go back out there. But I might. But I'm saying to you, you know, right now, you know, it's either going to be the Caribbean. I think I'll probably end up having to stay in the Caribbean, because if the people that I go out and see in Africa ain't doing no righteousness, and that means like they're not trying to take back Mama Africa for the people of Mama Africa, then I ain't going back out there. Hell no. Because I can't promise that my children in the next 2 generations down are going to be in the same shit that the Africans are in today. I can't promise that. So I'd rather them at least be in the Caribbean, at least they're around people that identify themselves with them, rather than the Africans. They may not even take him. They're not going to... The average African... I have to see their mindset as well, the Africans over there, because a lot of people say, well, you know, the Africans don't even want you over there. And I kind of get that. They don't want us over here. They don't like us. They don't see us as part one. You know, they see us as the white man's... Ghana, they've got a term. They've got a word where they call black folks, you know, who are from... there's a term that they got. It's called Akuro. They got a name for it anyway. But they've got where in Ghana, where they call black folks, basically in their language, they're calling you the white man's nigger, the white man's black man. You see what I'm trying to say?
But if that is the motherland, there shouldn't be any issues with that then, right? You said you'd rather live there, you'd rather go through the droughts than the earthquakes and the typhoons and the hurricanes. Right, you say you'll stay there, and that's what you said now, right?
Well, yeah, I said, I never said that.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
Okay,
yeah,
my bad.
Eric?
Yes,
I said they don't get that. I said they don't get the bad weather. They don't get that. But
you
I'm saying it don't
Americans,
make sense. Us going, bro.
If black Americans can't make it in America, they're not going to make it anywhere. Because those countries, first of all, those countries are underdeveloped. You're talking about developing the road system, the communication system, water system. You're talking about starting almost from scratch, because many of those people live a subsistence living. Is that correct, Poverty?
That's true. That's from what I'm seeing.
And even
from
in the
I'm
Caribbean,
seeing.
I mean,
Same thing.
Visit there. But they're just visiting, and then they're in the developed resort part. They're not living in the hinterlands. They're not living in the outback, as it were.
And it's the same thing in Jamaica, but what I'm saying, it would be better me go out there with my wife and, you know, and my children, because at least they identify themselves with me.
Yeah, but
you know.
Okay, but what is that exactly? I mean, okay, if that's really true, fine. But most people, you just said the Africans have a word. It's called, for the black Americans, they call them the white man's nigger.
Is that,
yeah,
is that what I
even,
understood you
even
to say?
For the British as well. Even for the British as well. And
what do you mean
they,
the British?
They,
who, okay,
I mean, the black British, you know, European blacks as well. They give them
the
same.
You're saying
the Americans.
Different African countries use that nomenclature for blacks both in the
You've
UK
been through
and America, correct?
You've been through slavery, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, see, right there, there's a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
see,
very big
I try to explain this to people. If you don't like a person, that's it. That's what a divorce is. I don't like your ass anymore. And I'm separating from you legally, and I'm going to take your shit. I'm going to take as much of it as I can get. Irreconcilable differences.
Mm.
It is very important to be in agreement and to understand the power of agreement. Now, sure, you don't just be in agreement for agreement's sake, but you want to work through the issues and get to common ground, substantive ground. And most people in America don't do that. In fact, most whites, they're living off the legacy. They're living off of a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't that good at much either.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're just living off of privilege.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's the point. If you can't, like the guy that earlier, or you listen, try to get people together and understand the nature of their conversation. Try to understand the nature of their agreement. Because most people, I'm going to tell you, don't know how to be in agreement. All they've ever experienced was confusion. They don't know how to be in agreement.
True.
And unless you find that common ground to where you guys can agree and be comfortable, it's always a divorce, whether it's business or personal relationships or whatever. Human relationships are the most important and rewarding relationships there are. At the same time, if you don't know how to establish them, or if you never, you know, work on establishing them, you won't have them.
You
won't
have
right now. So going to Africa, you don't have the mental and emotional fuel. You don't even have the fuel to go across the street.
Again, yes, and yes.
Your churches are a place that have the potential for the type of polarization that you need, but they aren't conscious of that either.
No, that's true. I even alluded that on my broadcast once.
The church
yeah.
is the oldest and most enduring institution in Black American culture. So
and
look even
black
church.
Culture, full stop.
What?
In black culture, full stop. Because in Jamaica, there's the most churches in the world are in Jamaica.
Okay. Now, all you have to do, Eric, I love your interviewing tactics. You remind me of several, you know, people, notable people in the past. Go to the churches or church people and pick their brains. Other than tithing and lying and sitting up there, you know, believing in a fake God, find out what they believe. Now, I don't say that about all churches, but most. I mean, you have churches on every corner. Are the people improving
You're
as
right.
a result of all these multiplicity of churches? No.
No.
So churches are where most of your people meet. That's where most of your human capital and human resources are. So the church is always a good barometer for how the community is. If the church is dysfunctional and majority of your people in the community attend church, there's your syllogism.
Wow. All right. Well, I think we're going to leave it off right there today.
All right, Eric, you know how to start trouble, so keep it up.
Well, thank you.
Eric's he's a referee. That's
of course.
You're a referee. Huh?
Yeah, I have to be the referee. Now, don't get wrong. Look, don't get wrong now. I can throw some punches, too, okay?
No, I'm not saying that you can't, because you have to be strong to be a referee.
Oh, okay.
Most referees are very big and they go to the gym. I don't know a referee. They're meant to train. They're meant to be able to break up the fight. When it goes over limits, when it gets out of control, they have to be strong enough to break it apart. Have you noticed, if you watch boxing fights and sometimes the referee gets a punch in their face by accident, they never drop to the ground.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, but a good referee keeps the fight going.
Yeah, he does keep the fight going too. Yeah. But he knows
that's
what
it
gets out of punches too.
Not when it gets out of control.
Yeah, out of control. All right. Since you're talking, go ahead, Supreme. You got 2 minutes to give your final say.
No, good discussion for the debate. Only reason why I didn't get involved earlier because Mehdi was doing a good job, and I wasn't in disagreement with anything that was being said today. That's why I took a while to get in there, but I saw that everyone was, I just came in at the end and, I just added my thing. And I'm just saying, I'm not pushing Africa.
Okay.
You understand? I don't push Africa's people. I feel that, yeah, the Americans are due, a part of, you should be due a part of America, but the devil won't do it. They will not let the black Americans have a proper equal pie. Because remember, there's more devils than there are blacks in America.
But it's not the devils, though. That's the reason I encourage you. Now, they don't like that name, and even the low-class whites, when you call them devils, that pisses them off. But
yes, that's why I call them it. That's why I call them
it. Because
you know what? They call me, I've been on racist broadcast. This guy's making lots of, innuendo, racial innuendo. I say racist innuendo, and it doesn't really bother them. They're prepared to have a name fight all day. But once I call them a devil, they don't like that one, boy. They're saying
right, they don't like that.
You
both the co-host and Mr. Talk? Are you Mr. Talk co-host and Mr. Talk?
No. I'm just Mr. Talk.
Who's your co-host?
A-Nav.
Huh?
A-Nav.
Oh, A-Nav is the co-host. Okay, I didn't know. Okay, great. Yeah, I think bring up another blockbuster subject like this. These are good subjects. I think some good information emerges.
Yeah, that's true. And we get some nutcases too, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
You let him in, Eric.
Well, I mean, I screened him. He sounded decent. he talked.
I don't know. I think he was just pissed off. I want to say pissed off at me. But somebody said here, the co-host said that the Nigerians especially hate, presumably, since this is A-Nav, she means black Americans.
Mm-hmm.
She said Nigerians.
Right.
Now, I know quite a few Nigerians. I have, in fact, with most people, even Mr. Midnight Movie, I actually like Mr. Midnight Movie.
I don't mind him either. I like him as well. He's funny.
He's funny.
I hate on the man.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's a clown. He really is.
Now, he calls himself the bloviating inflammatory truth clown. There are a couple of adverbs there. Adjectives.
But Mr. Solutions, the only reason why I go up in there, he's talking too much shit and you ain't there. Once you're there, I don't get involved again. I just stay myself out.
A little bit of a lightning rod because, see, he can't support anything. He had a white woman on this morning, and I encourage him to nail her ass. Now, this is a perverted, wicked, despicable, disgusting white woman. She does porno. She's absolutely disgusting. And if you don't believe me, ask Debbie Daly.
Okay.
Debbie will corroborate that this so-called bathtub girl is absolutely filthy. But she claims to be a white woman, and she's a psychopathic, neurotic bitch. And I tell her that. I don't hold my peace on that. And I ask Mr. Midnight Movie to confront her on the fact that she can take his ass to court, take his kids, take his house, take his 401K, although he'll never have either. But the point of it is, he was afraid to confront her. And get this now, she had called him a loser in the past. She called him a loser in the past. And said she wouldn't come on his show anymore, but I see she was on his show. But I encourage him to confront this woman. He talks about affirmative action and how, you know, blacks are destroying it. And I just, not because I'm taking up for blacks. I'm not taking up for blacks. That's not what my interest is. My interest is to tell the truth. And if the truth falls on the side, happens to fall on the side of blacks, then that's where I'm going. I'm going for the truth and clarity. And he isn't. So I said to him, you have a white woman who's the primary beneficiary of affirmative action. Nail her ass on that if you're interested in the truth. And he he totally balked.
You know why I think he never did it, brother?
No, he didn't. That's what he's saying. He didn't do it.
No. I'm saying, you know why he did it?
Excuse me. Allow me to get an understanding. Were any of you there this morning?
No, I never
listened to it.
You can listen to the show in the archives. I was nailing his ass, and he was tap dancing like a cat on a hot tin roof. And I hope he comes on your show sometimes, Eric. I think he's gone on his show. Now, he and I spilled over yesterday onto Goofy Bone's
show. Right, and I followed y'all over there. Yeah.
Of course, I asked him to get this bitch, and she, guess what she said? Maybe Mr. Solution would like me if he got to know me. I go, shit, damned if I would ever like your filthy ass. And I don't like her, by the way. I do not like her. I don't say that about many people, but I don't like her ass. But he was afraid to confront her. Why? Because it would upset his bullshit. But I hope some of you call in and follow through. You don't even have to say I said it. Debbie Daly corroborated it the other night, not that she had to, but the Department of Labor points out that white women are the primary beneficiaries of affirmative action. And Warren Farrell, in his book, which is a fantastic book, and I encourage you to get it, The Myth of Male Power, he said it was evil to transfer the hard-won earnings of the civil rights movement over to white women.
Mm.
That's who the beneficiary of civil rights go to, affirmative action, is to white women. And that fucking coward, Mr. Midnight Movie, I would call his ass out. And sometimes, let me tell you something. In a debate, sometimes you only need to make one point to the people who understand. Because one point can be so cataclysmic, it can be so earth-shattering, that it overshadows and consumes everything else. So if he's so concerned about affirmative action, why doesn't he get up in white women's asses for being the primary consumers of affirmative action?
Not the primary consumers.
You know why he doesn't get at her? Because because she's a hoe.
What?
I said the reason why he doesn't get up into her, you know, like how you wanted, because she's a hoe, and I've seen it by many men, right?
You know the one now, it's probably more the one. They got
the one
this one they call Nikki, who smokes a lot. And let me tell you, I can tell if a person is fat or if they smoke just by listening to their voice. There's a raspy voice when they smoke, and there's a shortness of breath when you're fat, because all that fat is weighing on your chest, on your lungs, what have you. At any rate, he put her as sexy. This Nikki smokes a lot. Now, I probably don't like her ass either, but I know I can't stand. Now, Goofy Bone said this morning, and Goofy, you know, Goofy wavers in and out, and I wish he would come on the show, but Goofy said, I disrespected Bathtub Girl. Goofy has talked about kicking women in the head. He talks about fucking bitches, and...
Yes.
I got my statement of Bathtub Girl should go and wash her tail, although I didn't say tail. I got that from Goofy because I thought they were, playing on a parody of her having bad hygiene by calling her Bathtub Girl. So Goofy was totally off there, and when I meet him again, I'm going to tell him, if I understood him correctly, now maybe I didn't, but if I understood him, you can't disrespect a bathtub girl. She will wear on your nerves. She's such a conniving bitch. Now, she's a woman, and she's worse than most black women.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Did I say that correctly? You damn right I did.
All right. You setting it up for next week for sure.
At any rate, I got to go work out now, but let me tell you.
Yeah, me too.
I feel capital.
Huh?
I said I feel capital.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say to you, brother, a reason why Mr. Midnight never got her, because there's still because she's such a hoe, there's a chance that she'll sleep with him.
She said what? Repeat that.
I said because she's so loose, hoe, there's a chance that Mr. Midnight might be able to have sex with her. That's why he doesn't want to just straight out, flat out diss her.
Yeah, you can't disrespect a woman who, Eric, I don't mean to hold you over, you can't disrespect a woman who does porno. She's the ringleader in disrespecting herself. And I listened to it. See, I never talked to her, and I told her this morning, I'm not talking to you. You're filth. I won't talk to you. I told her that.
Mm-hmm.
But I told Midnight Movie to ask her the questions. And he was such a pussy, he was scared to ask her the questions.
Yeah, because there's a chance he might get pussy.
Oh, Lord.
All right, listen to his show, and you guys come over there and bring some more people because, you know, it's kind of a funny show. He is funny. He's a comedic idiot. And I enjoy his show. I like Mr. Midnight Movie. Let me just say that. I like him. And we have a particular synergy, and I don't bash him just to do it. It's because he's dealing with such a hateful thing in such a stupid way, which he can't support any of his positions. And I give him historical positions, constitutional positions, and he'll acquiesce at the time, but later on when he recovers, he'll say, well, Mr. Solution doesn't stick to the subject.
or what was his other word yesterday? Personal attack?
Oh, yeah.
Brother Solutions.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's funny.
Solutions.
Personal attack. But see, I tell him, whenever you put yourself on the line like that, and he is a loser. Debbie Daly has called him a loser. Bathtub Girl called him a loser. Every one of us calls him a loser because we would say, to give your issues credibility, you would need to do at minimum two things. Get more education, stop stopping at the friggin' student union and causing a ruckus, and improve your life. Now, he was on the radio instead of being out working. And Goofy does a masterful job, and he follows in the vein that I was speaking to Mr. Midnight Movie, is to become more successful. In other words, work two or three jobs. He lives in a place with other guys, two, three, four other guys.
Oh, Lord.
And he just doesn't, you know, manifest any sort of success. And I told him he should never claim to be a white guy again because he has nothing to show for it.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Anyway, I'm out, Eric, but thanks a lot. Have a good day. And you too, Supreme.
All right. I'm cutting it off right here. All right, y'all. It's been another good one. Hey, we got a lot of information put out there. That's the main point. Now, did we come to a conclusion? Heck no. Well, I guess we did. Heck, basically, and with the polls, some will and some won't. Personally, I won't. But it all depends on what you're going over there for. All right, y'all. Tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, Freedom Fund Friday. We're going to have us a good time because I'm feeling funny. I'm feeling like a good time tomorrow night. So we're going to have us a great time. Until then, make sure you kiss that someone special. Tell them you love them, you appreciate them, and just hug them and keep them close to you, okay? Until then, tomorrow, 2 p.m. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. Tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, and y'all, I am out of here. Talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk.